Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode,
the phone will ring and John will be on the other side of the phone going, look, it's great, you can get teletext on it and everything. And he's pressing it and you can hear him. I'm going, John, you've called me again. John, put the phone down.
What's he doing Saturday? I should introduce him to my grandma.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plot. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Hello, welcome back to the show. I am indeed your host. I'm also your running coach, and I am talking to you en masse now. This is no longer one-to-one running coaching, which is what I'm so used to normally. This is an opportunity for me to sit in a studio with the microphone, with the headphones on, and speak to the world. And I want to help you guys to improve your running. I want to help motivate, inspire you. We're going to be taking the show outside. We're going to be talking to people on the streets, in the park. We're going to be everywhere. So you need to make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. But today's show is absolutely packed. I'm so excited about this. We're going to be talking about one of my favourite sessions, and it's time trialing. Now, if you're new to a time trial, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, or if you do the occasional time trial and you think you know, but you've still got a little bit of confusion about the whole thing, then stick around because I'm going to be explaining all that and more on today's show. But first, we're talking to a right plogger.
Hi. Hi, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. More to the point, how are you?
Very, very good, thank you. Getting ready for a season more of plogging coming up.
Wow. I was actually going to ask, you're not out there now. You're not plogging as we speak, are you? Are you comfortable, relaxing, chilling, talking to me?
I am. I'm sat down, staring out near Richmond Park with, thankfully, no rubbish in front of me right now.
Wow, that is a good picture you've painted. So tell me, what is this plogging all about? So you've set up Plogolution, right?
Yes, I did. So just over a year ago now, myself and my friend Dermot went for a bit of a run. We both live in London, so we were running down by the River Thames. He's an ex-bin man, so he is used to seeing a lot of rubbish. I wasn't so much. He kept pointing it out, which sort of destroyed my run a little bit. And then subsequent runs, I found myself seeing lots of rubbish. And then we both came across the Swedish craze of plogging, which comes from the Swedish word plocka up, which means to pick up, and the og bit of jogging. And the idea is to run and pick up rubbish at the same time. Very simple concept. So we decided to hold the first plog in July last year in Putney. We got 16 people turning up doing a 2K walk and a 5K run.
So the influence came from your partner, really, with his ex-bin person, you say?
Yeah, it was a mixture. I mean, both of us are really into fitness in the environment. He's now a personal trainer. And I think we wanted to find something that, I think often with the environment, it can seem to make a difference. Everything seems to be happening so far away. You know, there's icebergs melting, there's fires in the Amazon rainforest. And to be able to do something that's close to home can sometimes feel a bit difficult to know how to get involved. We wanted to find something that not only got people fit and active, but also made a real distance to local communities, and also, you know, especially around rivers and waterways, stopping all of that plastic and rubbish finding its way into the sea.
I mean, that's just amazing. And I have to say, I think there's a real movement at the moment, isn't there? You know, obviously the whole war on plastic, but it goes much further than that. And I sense, and you will know more than me, Michelle, being very sort of at the centre of all this and this fantastic idea, that I think people are becoming more aware of it and focused on it and wanting to do something about it. That's certainly as I feel. I mean, I've got a performance community, which is effectively a performance community of recreational athletes. So it's regular people like you and I that want to improve our fitness and our mental health and all those things, those lovely benefits that go with running. But a lot of the time, you know, when the guys are posting and I check in on them weekly on Strava, a lot of the time people will be taking not just those glorious photos of the sunset runs, but it's also things that they're not happy with. Fly tipping, yep. Littering, all those things, you know, the plastic when people are going running along the coast. And it's really, do you find that people are more conscious of this? Is that what you're sensing?
Most definitely. I think we do definitely need to do something about it to raise awareness. I mean, we know that what we're doing is a very small drop in the ocean. But what we're also trying to do is we go into schools as well. We start up school plogging clubs. The idea being is if we can educate the generation that's now growing up, that hopefully when they get a bit older, they won't be throwing their litter onto the streets. They'll hopefully have more making more conscious decisions about reducing their plastic intake. And, you know, I think living a more sustainable lifestyle. And I think if we can get the kids from a young age and instill that in them, hopefully, you know, their runs and jogs in the future will be a lot more litter free.
If you could see inside my head right now, I'm about ready to explode. I've got so many questions. How long have you got? So I'm really interested because Dermot's a personal trainer.
Yes, so he is ex-army.
Okay.
Ex-bin man, current personal trainer. And yeah, very interested in fitness. He's actually at the moment out in Africa saving the rhino.
Wow. Okay. He's like Superman. I was about to align myself with Dermot by saying I'm an ex-personal trainer, so I've got some common ground there, but I'm not quite sure I'm at that level.
Have you ever saved a rhino, Jake?
No, but you know what? I'm very, very conscious of technique here. You know, I don't want to, you know, take the wind out of anybody's sail or anything like that. A great idea. But, you know, in terms of technique, when you're picking up this litter, you know, have you done your manual handling proficiency assessment? Is there things that you need to consider when picking up litter? You know, because you only have to go into the garden and start weeding to pull you back.
It's true. You
it
do.
It is true. Pete
Although,
often does that.
Yeah, I do. I often pull the back. And do you stop or do you pick up whilst running?
Do you know what? It really does depend on who you're with. We did do a plug with a chap called Dan Edwards, who is the founder of Parkour Generations. And let's just say that when he picks up rubbish, he does not do it the same way I pick up rubbish.
No, I imagine.
He does this sort of... I can only call it a plog and roll. It's amazing. He rolls on the side of his shoulder to pick up the rubbish and jump it back up again. However, the majority of us slow down to a walk, put the rubbish in our bag and start running again.
Yeah. But you know what? It's the cause and it's the taking part, isn't it? That's what it's about, Michelle.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Sometimes, depending on how much rubbish we've come across, that 5K run has been shortened quite dramatically to, you know, us walking. Sometimes I've had 5 massive bags of rubbish that I'm carrying because I can't run with this anymore. So it really does depend on where we go in the area that we choose. Even central London, which you consider to be fairly clean, we found a lot. And we generally on our runs have to find rubbish bins along the way to put our rubbish into.
If you've got 5 bags of rubbish, as well as running, you are weight training as well. So there are more health benefits.
And there's some balance involved in that as well. Maybe a bit of agility. So you're getting kind of an array of skill development here. This is really impressive. What's the biggest litter you picked up? You had a microwave or a fridge, anything like that?
We have definitely picked up some weird and wonderful things. Part of our health and safety briefing is don't pick up anything you can't run with or you can't carry. So, you know, a lot of it does get left behind if it's just too big. We have found some interesting things. We found discarded loud hailers down by the riverside.
Wow.
We did that very crazy challenge in May this year. We decided we wanted to raise awareness of plastic pollution and littering. So we plugged the entire length of the Thames from the source in Kemble to the Thames barrier. And we did that in 6 days, 184 miles. And Dermot carried pretty much every bit of rubbish that we found on his back in this massive rucksack, and we sort of emptied it out every 4 or 5 miles. But we came to an inlet down by the Thames barrier, and we came across 627 of those nitrate oxide laughing gas canisters, little silver things. We counted them all in. I think someone had quite a party from the O2. And we've also come across discarded sex toys as well.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they're things that you see when you're out running, I have to say. I mean, runners do like exploring, don't they? We get bored of sort of the same routes and things like that. So naturally, I think you kind of, you know, runners tend to be a bit curious, sort of go and investigate. And you do see some strange things when you're out running. There's absolutely no mistake about it. Have you ever done that thing where you go to pick something up, but you keep missing it?
Yes, especially if it's smaller.
I do that. No, I'm at that age now. I mean, I'm only 41.
Yes.
But the other day, I bent down to pick something off the floor. I think it was a pair of socks, rolled running socks. I think it took me 6 attempts before I actually picked it up. You know where you keep missing it?
That's scary.
That'd be a real pain if you're out there plugging and you just keep missing it. You'd be there for it. It's not a very efficient way of working,
is
it?
No, but you see, Dermot's a professional because he's a professional at doing this stuff. And I can imagine Dermot was, the way that you describe him, he was a bin man back in the days when bin men were real men. And they put the dustbin on their back. Rather than now with the wheels. They got the wheels now.
We're going to have to get Dermot on next time.
We are,
there's
definitely
no question about that. People want to find out more about what you're up to and get involved in this crazy revolution, plug-olution that you're creating, Michelle, which is amazing. Where can they find out more and get involved?
So we are on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter under @plug-olution. We've also got our website, plug-olution.com. And on there you can find out all our latest plugs that are coming up and how to get involved. You know, if you want to get your school involved as well, you know, we can come in and... sort that out.
Do you know, I'm into this. I'm really on board with this. I want to do some plugging as well, so I need to be checking out the website. But just because I'm all about ideas, I'm quite creative as a runner. Have you ever thought about launching a podcast? Do you have a podcast?
No, we don't have a podcast. We would love to.
Oh, this would be great. You've got to do it. Litter Picking with Michelle, the podcast. I mean, that would just be perfect.
It would.
I can see it now.
We don't need more competition. What's going on?
We could align.
Oh, we can align. Let's align.
Let's talk after the show, Michelle.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely be up for aligning and doing something. That sounds great.
Michelle, keep up the good work. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for chatting.
No worries. Thanks, Jake.
Still to come on Running with Jake.
When you see people who are younger and fitter and you're running past them, that's great, isn't it? That's been phenomenal. And doing that on a Saturday morning, I've really felt the benefits. You know, by Saturday afternoon, I feel as though I've been on LSD. I mean, I am so... I'm so...
You sound like you're on it now, I'll be honest.
I'm so unbelievably happy.
But now, with something even more interesting, here's Jake.
So time trialling. I want to tell you a little bit about one of my favourite sessions. I love dropping this into my training periodically. I don't think enough people do it. I think it's important to understand what the benefits of time trialling are and obviously how to do it. So I want to just tell you a little bit about that now so that you can perhaps put this into your training in the next few weeks and you can let us know how you get on with it. So time trialling, what exactly is it? It's really simple. It's not as complicated as it sounds. A time trial is simply you versus the clock over a measured distance. Now, this typically is different from a race. You can time trial in a race, in an event, but what I'm talking about is actually you performing a time trial as just part of your training on your own. So the idea behind it is it creates a benchmark for your fitness, so you can compare this over time, which enables you to make any necessary adjustments to your training. So let's say, for example, you train really consistently, your training's been really good, you've put in a few good races in the early part of the year, and then you go on holiday, like many of us do, so you're away for a couple of weeks, and you have great intentions of packing your trainers, getting some runs in, but understandably so, it doesn't always work that way and things get in the way. Motivation, it's too hot, you're not sure where you're going, whatever. So invariably you lose a little bit of fitness. So when you come back off a holiday, you could potentially throw in a mini time trial whereby it's you versus a clock over that measured distance, and it just gives you a very good indication of where your level of fitness is, particularly if you've already done a time trial previously over the same distance, because you compare, and this is where that measurement is. Now, it's massively important, and as a coach, I always advise all runners do this, not to train blindly. So what I mean by that is have that awareness of what you're doing, when you're doing it, and why you're doing it. It's important to reflect back on the sessions that you've actually done, rather than just thinking, well, I did that run yesterday, that's in the past, I'll now forget about it. You need that awareness, because not only does that help you to map out the future of your training so you've got some clear direction, it can also help keep those injuries away, because it ensures that you don't overtrain, because you've got that hyper awareness of the intensity and the volume that you're doing at any one point. But by putting in these time trials, it just enables you to see exactly where you are. So if you have lost a bit of fitness, for example, then at least you know it. And then you know how to make those necessary adjustments to the future of your training. Now, a time trial is different from a race because it puts you directly in control. Obviously, a race, the organisers organise where it is, when it is, what time it kicks off, etc. Whereas with a time trial, it's different because you pick the date, you pick the time, and you pick the location to suit. And nobody has to know that you're actually doing it. You know, sometimes if you feel a bit nervous going into a race, and we all kind of have that, and nerves to a certain degree I think are really healthy, because it shows that you care about something and you haven't got a flippant attitude going into it. You've probably put in the necessary work because you know it's important. But you don't always want to feel like super, super nervous about certain races and times and all those pressures. But a time trial, nobody knows. You can just kind of do it on your own. You can pick a quiet time. Nobody even has to see you, depending on where you choose. If you want to do it on a treadmill, that is absolutely fine. A treadmill, in fact, is a great place to do it, because the test environment effectively is always the same, because you're on a treadmill, you're probably at home in a spare room in your office, or you might be in a local health club. The test environment's the same. So remember, the key, one of the massive benefits to a time trial is being able to compare the sessions. So it's important that you keep the test environment the same. I think they're safer than a race, because in a race, although I often advise people not to go into a race and race it, i.e. give 100% of what they're capable of, it can be hard not to do that, because you know, you get to the race, the gun goes, everybody bolts off, and you kind of just go with them. Whereas if you are time trialing and you're on your own, you don't get caught up in everything, so you might give it 95% of what you're capable, you know, rather than sort of that dragging yourself across the line in those last 100 meters, which is probably where most of the damage and the stress is caused, or the majority of. I think it's actually a lot safer for you to just give 95% in a time trial. Whereas if in a race, you probably wouldn't do that. You probably wouldn't hold back. Also, in a time trial, there's less people to negotiate. Depending on where you start in a race field, you've got other people to think about. You know, if you're a little bit further back and you've got people in front of you you need to overtake, obstacles, that can cause problems. If it's a big race, like is in a big distance, like a half marathon, marathon, you've got water stations, water stops, you've got water bottles on the floor and you've got that to negotiate and slippy floors and stuff. So it can be a lot safer in many ways. The other advantage of a time trial, of course, it gives you a massive boost of feel-good chemicals, because when you work hard, you get that hit of chemicals. It makes you feel amazing. So time trials are great for that, and they're just brilliant fun. So how do you do this? Well, basically, the first thing you need to do is you need to choose a distance to time trial. And the distance, ideally, needs to be suited to the distance of your upcoming race. So let's say you're doing a half marathon. You might time trial in the lead up to the event a 10K, because it's not a million miles away from the race distance that you're really targeting, the half marathon. You might do 5K. But remember, you don't have to stick to 5K or 10K or a half marathon. It doesn't need to be these popular race distances that you must time trial. It could be an 8K distance. You could time trial 1 mile. You know, you've got so much freedom because you are in control. I would suggest that you think about which race you've got coming up and obviously choose a distance that's relevant. The other thing is to check the weather conditions and decide on the date. Now, conditions need to be comparable for future time trials, so that it's that whole comparison thing. You don't want to go and time trial a 5K to see where your fitness is at and you're choosing a really hilly course and it's really hot. And then the next time you do it, the weather conditions are absolutely perfect, optimum temperature, and the course is pancake flat, because you can't really get that much information from that because the difference is too great. So make sure the conditions are comparable, the course, the weather, all those sorts of things, perhaps even the time of day if you really want to be super fussy in terms of how you execute these time trials. Choose an obstacle-free course. That's really important. You know, you don't want to be, if you know there's a really busy junction on this 5 mile time trial, you don't really want to be choosing that as a route, because you might have to stop, wait for traffic, all that sort of stuff. So be logical about this. A treadmill's great because the environment's the same. Typically, the air conditioning will be very similar in a health club. And, you know, you're not going to worry about the wind. You're just in control of the speed. So a treadmill can be a great place to do it. You don't need to taper fully for a time trial, but I think it's important to go into them relatively fresh. So I advise that you take 2 or 3 easy days of running, or take complete, you know, rest days, 2 or 3 leading up to the time trial. And if you do that all the time, again, it gives us that consistency. It makes sure that things are nice and comparable, which is what we want. Make sure you do a thorough warm-up. As a general guide, the shorter the distance that you are going to time trial or race, this works for races as well, the shorter the distance, the faster the speed that you're going to run it at, therefore the longer the warm-up. So I'll say that again. The shorter the distance of the race or the time trial, the faster you're going to run, therefore the longer the warm-up needs to be. So if you think somebody like Usain Bolt, sprinter, world-class, you know, his event is over in like 9.5 seconds, but he's going to be spending like, you know, so much more time than that warming up, like 30 minutes plus, you know, longer, an hour if you include all these pre-massage and gosh knows what else. So be logical with how much time you spend warming up. The first time you try this, so if you've never time trialed before and you're going to give this a go after listening to this show, take pressure off. Now, I always say this, if you follow me on the social channels, Facebook, Instagram, and the usual places, you'll know I'm always talking about taking pressure off runners. I think that's really important. And when you do something like a time trial, that's massively important. So you want to experiment with the pace and the effort, because if you've never done a 5K before, like on your own, I don't mean in a park run or a race environment, if you've never time trialed a 5K, you know, how do you know what effort to sort of set off at? You might overcook it, you might undercook it. So kind of manage your expectations, go into it with an open mind, don't put yourself under pressure. I would tend to say err on the side of caution. So if it's the first time you're going to do it, set off at a relatively cautious pace, because I think that'll help your confidence. Because at the end of the time trial, if you think, do you know what, that's great, I feel good from it, I got this time, but I think I could have gone a little bit quicker at the start, that's going to motivate you rather than you burning out 25% before the end of the time trial. So something to think about. So give it a go. If you have any other questions with regards to time trial, there's anything that you really need to know that you've got in your head, then remember, it's hashtag AskJake, and I'll do what I can to help answer your questions. But I'd love to hear from you. So let me know how you go.
Running with Jake, the performance community.
My name's Carl Bembridge, and I have been part of the performance community for 6 months now. The start of it, I was kind of pretty amateur runner, really. I could go out for about a mile or so, but I didn't quite know how to sort of get better or whether I was running the right way or anything like that. So, yeah, Jake's put me on the right path, literally, and helped me kind of sort of focus on improving and getting better. Over the time, I've improved massively. I think sort of in that 6 months, I've gone from, you know, struggling to run like 2 miles sort of fast to doing sort of 10 miles, 12 mile runs quite happily and sort of finishing them feeling like I could carry on going. So for me, that's a humongous step. It really is. I'm quite proud of being able to do it. If you do want to improve your performance, the performance community is a fantastic place to start. You know, you've got people that are running sub-4 marathons that are now aiming for sub-3 and stuff, and they're using the science behind what Jake's teaching to really kind of focus on the right type of training, whether it's from sort of simply just getting out and being more consistent or really refining the way that you're running from technique to training levels and zones and heart rates. It's got a bit of everything for everybody, really, so I definitely recommend it.
The performance community, where recreational runners improve performance by training like elite athletes. Be part of it at runningwithjake.com.
So our next guest on the podcast is a top guy, David, who has not been running for that long. Well, actually, he's bringing his running days back. And only last Sunday, he took part in the Nottingham 10K. And I think, word on the street is, it went very well indeed. David, have you been running today?
Sadly, I haven't. I went on Sunday to do my first 10K in 20 years, and I'm just relaxing a little bit today. Thank you very much.
What time did you do, and are you happy with the time?
I'm delirious. I'm not really into running. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's sort of like a means to an end and keeping fit and all that stuff. But you know when you decide to do something and you think, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it well. So I had this time in my head, which was 52:20, which was the time I did in the year 2000, which of course is nearly 20 years ago. So I thought, every second that I'm slower than that means getting old. So I thought, I'm darned if I'm going to get less. And so I got 52:08, which, you know, I'm not Seb Coe, but I'm all right.
And I can hear the elation in your voice as well. And it's so funny because runners of all levels, we're all a bit bonkers. And whether we love it or hate it, or we have a strange love-hate relationship with running, we're all a bit competitive and we're all kind of focused on that time. But I mean, how amazing is that? You know, irrespective of whether you deem the time fast, slow, and as I always say, unless you hold a world record, there's always somebody quicker than you. But I mean, 20 years ago, that's just insane, isn't it?
Well, I'm not really a sporty person. You know, I was the lad at school that nobody picked for the football team. I wasn't obese or anything. I was just useless. And so I've never been into games, fitness, you know, wild horses wouldn't get me to do anything. And yet there comes a time in life, you know, I'm now in my, I normally tell people I'm 43, but actually I'm 58, and you know, you sit at the PC and you look down and you see this paunch that once wasn't there, and you think, I don't want to be that person that no one sits next to on the plane. So I thought, I need to do something. And running is one of those things that, you know, it can be very communal and you can join groups and it can be very sociable, but I'm not really into that. But it's something you can do on your own, and also it is tangible in a sense, because you get a time and you can beat a time and you can draw graphs of it and things, which is what I like doing. So that's what I started doing, and signed up for the first park run, which was, you know, back end of last year. And as I know your listeners will probably know, these park runs are, you know, they're all over the world. You get your barcode and you turn up and you run, and you, it's not really a race, but you can race against yourself and you get the time at the end of it. And that's been phenomenal. And doing that on a Saturday morning, I've really felt the benefits. You know, by Saturday afternoon, I feel as though I've been on LSD. I mean, I am so
you sound like you're on it now, I'll be honest.
I'm so unbelievably happy. And you realize what, you know, you read about it, don't you? But when you think, I'm not usually this happy, you know that the chemicals that are being generated are doing something.
You can get that from other forms of exercise. I know running is your thing, although you perhaps thought it wasn't, you know, it's not always been your thing, but you can get it from other forms of exercise. But I think as well, the fact that when we run, most of the time we're outdoors, unless you're, you know, doing some sessions on a treadmill, but you're out there in nature, you're enjoying it, it feels purposeful. You know, I think there's a lot of sights and sounds that you can take on board. And I think you come back and, as you put it, you know, you just feel on on top of the world, which is just incredible. But I just want to pick up on something you mentioned there about the whole time, because what do you think it's down to? What did you do differently? Is it just more running? Is it more volume? Is there something specific that enabled you to achieve that on Sunday?
I think it is actually just doing the park run every, you know, I try to do it every week or 2 weeks, but sometimes, you know, life gets in the way. But I think it's the fact that I've just got into doing that five, and then I did a six before it, but I had never run 10 kilometers for 20 years. So I think it is just literally, you know, I do a bit of other fitness now once a week too, that alongside the 5Ks, and also just the wanting to achieve something. And I never thought I'd feel glory under a gantry. I mean, it's just this is just so not me. I can't believe I think there's been some interference on the line. I can't believe I'm saying these things. The fact that you do get that feeling of satisfaction as you run. And also when you see people who are younger and fitter and you're running past them, that's great, isn't it? And you look down the list of people and all their times, and, you know, hats off to anybody who bothered turning up. It's a great achievement, you know, whatever your time. But there is a sneaking bit of pride when you see people who, you know are a darn sight younger, who haven't quite got your time.
You know what? I've always said as well that running keeps you young. I mean, I think, and I said this to a friend of mine the other day, that, you know, I'm 41 and I'm still, so I'm no spring chicken myself, but I'm still aiming at running quicker times. You know, quicker times to me, David, this is, you know, so my own aspirations and goals and things. And I think running does keep you young. And it's that accumulative effect, which I often talk about. You mentioned the park run and that consistency in those weekly 5Ks. You know, you didn't go out and do lots of 10Ks, but all your sessions come together on the day of, was it the Nottingham 10K that you did?
It was indeed, around the university. It was a lovely, lovely sight.
And I think a lot of people can think that it's just one session, that killer session each week, and it isn't. All your sessions come together. You know, if you brush your teeth once every month, it's not going to do a great deal for you. But actually, if you do it every day, just for a couple of minutes, twice a day, you know, you're going to have pretty good teeth and gum health. So I think it is that accumulative effect that you need.
It does. And, you know, you talk about getting younger. I'm sitting here looking like an elite athlete dressed in a very sporty attire. And it's because I've just come from my medical, and they always say, wear loose clothing for your medical. We may ask you to do minor exercises. And I sort of go every year, and they draw a graph, and the doctor shook his head today and he said, your graph is pointing in the wrong direction. And I said, what do you mean? He said, normally as people go old, the graph goes up and you're going down, you know, body fat 15.6 or whatever it is currently. And he says, this is, you know, he was quite astounded. And normally they give you that lecture, don't they, about, well, you need to do, and he couldn't think of a thing to say. And I thought, well, that serves you right.
credit to you for breaking the mold, David. I've got to say, that's just amazing. I mean, that's what it's about, isn't it? Absolutely superb.
You did say a second ago that you don't really do exercise, but you're kind of working more exercise into your routines at the moment. I know that you're into Apple Activity. You're very much into that. And you challenged a guy I was working with at the weekend, and you should have seen the look on his face. He kept standing up and he said, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And he had 20 minutes of hardcore action, and he'd run up a road and then he'd run back and then he sat down and we went back to the pub and had another beer. And then he looks at his watch as it pinged and he went, oh no, David's done some more stuff.
This is one of the things, isn't it? I mean, with your Apple Watch and whatever, and, you know, other fitness appliances are available, it does make you do more. I think there's been some research into this whole area that I'm sure you'll cover in other programmes, just about the psychological effect. When a watch tells you to do some exercise, you do. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? But, that guy Ian challenged me to it, and I wasn't quite sure what a challenge was, but I accepted it. And then I could see that his levels were far more than he was doing the day before. I thought, oh, he's taking this seriously. So we didn't speak for the whole week. We didn't speak, but I could see whenever I did something, he did. And then on the Sunday, I got back from the 10K run, I did the calculations, I thought I can relax now because he can't beat me.
I love the calculations, the effort that's going into this challenge. I'm building a very clear picture about you, David, I have to say. An impressive one, I hasten to add. But I think you're right. You know, in this day and age, metrics, everybody's kind of, even if they don't fully understand different metrics where physical activity is concerned, I think they're aware of it. You know, your watch tells you to get up and move if you've been sat, you know, not really doing a great deal. So I think a lot of people are more used to things. I coach a lot of people on heart rate. You know, not everybody everybody will understand that, but more people are aware of it. So it just makes things a little bit more specific, a little bit more scientific. And of course, it means that we can actually ensure that people do develop a little bit more. And it's measurable, isn't it? You know, like the graph today you got from the test that you had, the health MOT, we'll call it. You know, it's just, you can see it, it's tangible, and you know you've improved, which of course makes you feel aced, doesn't it?
It's also non-judgmental, because I think, you know, when your personal trainer or whatever says, oh, well done, you know, A, they're being paid to say it, and B, it's slightly patronising because they're far fitter than you'll ever be. When your watch tells you, you know, it's just a statistical calculation, it's an algorithm which says, actually, you've achieved something. And I quite like that.
So, David, I want to know, I've got to ask, what is next for you? Now, you, am I right in saying it was 52.08? Is that the time that you ran?
52.08, so 52 minutes and 8 seconds was the chip time. Hark at me with the chip time business. I didn't know what one of those was a week ago.
There's a difference. Pete's looking a bit vacant. I'll explain the difference between gun time and chip time to him later after the podcast. But the big question, of course, is could you have found 8 seconds in reflection?
Yeah, of course I could, because I well, you know, you don't know what to... After 20 years, I didn't know who... Because you go with these paces and you say, oh, you're going to be an hour or hour and whatever. And I joined in with the 55s because I thought, well, I'll aim for 55 and that'll be all right. So I was surprised to do 52.08. And of course I could have done faster than that. And it's just annoying. And I've put myself down for a half marathon, which I've never done before now. So in September, I should do the Nottingham half marathon unless I injure myself.
I went and did a little bit of a recce of the course this morning. I didn't do the full 13 miles, I hasten to add, but I did actually go through Woollerton Park and part of the area of the Robin Hood half marathon. It's looking pretty nice there. I'm sure you will enjoy it and you'll go very, very well indeed. But it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, David. And do you know what? They do say it's not all about physical ability, it is attitude as well, getting out there and committing to the sessions, and you've got that in abundance. So I wish you well, and if there's anything that we can do to help, then just shout, of course.
Cheers, Jake. Thank you.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plot, here's your host, Jake Lowe.
This is the part of the show where I answer your questions, hashtag Ask Jake. Lisa's asked, what are the benefits of strides? Now, strides, to be clear, are known as relaxed sprints. These are not out-and-out efforts. So if ever you've heard the term strides banded around, it's quite an old and common used term. They're short efforts, so they're not maximum sprints. It's not like you're sprinting as fast as you can. More about 90 to 95% effort. So they're relaxed. So you shouldn't feel like you're gaining tightness through the body, but you are running quickly. And you're usually doing these over a 20 or 30 second duration. So you're not running for a long period of time. They're quite short, they're quite fast, but they are relaxed. And it's designed to help maximize your form, so develop your running form. And it's also designed to help you get used to a little bit of faster running. So this can be great if you are fairly new to doing some quicker running. The important thing is try to do them on soft ground like grass. That can be really, really helpful just to help minimize the impact going through the body.
Running with Jake, the podcast.
I've just had a text from my grandma.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, I met her for lunch earlier and she was complaining. She's, by the way, super positive.
She's she's the best grandma in the world.
She's amazing. And she was complaining because she's having problems with her iPhone. She's all super like Instagram and she knows all about Facebook and whatever. Jacob, she calls me Jacob.
Yeah.
She said, Jacob, I can't watch your videos. She said, well, I can watch them, but I can't hear you. Like, it's a problem with the sound or something like that. So I was messing about in the tea rooms earlier with a phone and stuff. Managed to sort it out. She just messaged me now going, thanks, Jacob. Now I can hear everything you're saying in the videos. And
she's
super happy, loads of emojis and stuff. Not sure about the vegetable one. I think that was an accident. But sometimes, you know, she just gets a bit too frantic with the old phones and
stuff. Well, your grandma's awesome. I've got a friend, John, who's a little bit older. And because my surname's Alan, I'm one of the first people in his phone. So sometimes, quite often, in fact, it was about 2 years ago when he got a new iPhone. And what he used to do is he used to, like, show all his mates. And it was always Barry or one of Barry's mates when they go to the pub. And he'd accidentally call me while he was demonstrating it. So quite often, the phone would ring and John would be on the other side of the phone going, look, it's great, you can get teletext on it and everything. You get teletext, and he's pressing it and you can hear him. I'm going, John, you've called me again. John, put the phone down.
What's he doing Saturday? I should introduce him to my grandma.
You should.
That'd be a lot. We'll get him on the show.
It could be beautiful. I don't know. I don't think John would find the place.
That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. If, of course, you want to keep up to date with the show blog and any of of the video content from today's episode, then head over to runningwithjake.com/podcast. Of course, if you want to follow me and check out what else I've been up to, then it's the usual channels, Instagram, Facebook. Just search for Running with Jake. Have a great rest of the week. Oh, and one last thing. Run when you can, walk if you have to, crawl if you must. Just never, ever, ever give up.
And on next week's episode of Running with Jake.
Pete, I can hear you. Could you just eat a little bit more quietly?
I'm sorry.
You've given me a fitness flapjack. It's not like any other flapjack I've ever had.
Step away from the comfort zone. This is your final warning.
Running with Jake, the podcast. That's a wrap.